Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
To 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is a letter from Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians, and it's nestled in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read just two verses from that passage as we launch into today's message. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. The text says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." Let's pray. Lord, as we begin this year, we are so thankful for your word that I believe you are wanting to use to speak into our lives throughout this entire year, not just on Sundays, but every day, every day. Help us now to have open hearts, humble hearts, to receive your word for us as we launch into this new year. In your name, amen. Amen. You could be seated. You know, as we begin this new year, one of my primary prayers for you is that your faith will grow. Your faith, your trust, your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ will grow. I mean, we can't even be saved. We can't come into relationship with God without faith. It's so important. Without faith, we can't even please God. And so the more your faith grows, the more you are pleasing to God. The more your faith grows, the more confident you will be as you face different situations, the more peace you will have, the more rest you will have in your heart and in your soul if you have more faith. And I believe that the more faith that you have, trust and confidence in God and in His Word and what He says about you and what He says about your future, I believe the more faith you have, the more value that you're going to add to the world that you live in. And Paul the Apostle noticed in the Thessalonians that their faith was what? It was growing more and more. It was moving forward. It was picking up steam, if you will. It was growing. It was increasing. And Paul was so pumped about it that he started bragging. Look at this. He says, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast. We boast about your faith." How cool would it be if Paul the Apostle was still living today, and at the end of 2019, he was bragging about CCC. And he was bragging about some of your families and your lives, and being like, "Man, have you seen them? That's awesome. Like, they actually trust God. They actually believe His word." I mean, that'd be cool, but come on, how exponentially better would it be for God to be bragging about our church at the end of this year? And be like, "Can you believe how they have grown in their trust and confidence in God? Look how they have stepped out in faith. Look at the miracles that they've experienced as they have had faith, as they've trusted God, as they've been that strength in their family, not because of their own strength, but because of God's strength coming through them as they've had faith." And so as we go into this year, like the early church, my prayer is that our faith will grow more and more, that we will actually pick up steam with our faith, that we would have momentum, a fresh momentum in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you have just come to faith in Jesus or you've been serving God for 50 years. My prayer is that there will be momentum that takes place in your faith. Now, someone smarter than me told me that the formula for momentum is P equals MV, okay? It's a physics term. It's talking about how motion happens when there's more velocity and there's more mass, the harder it is to stop that object. In other words, the heavier something is, the bigger something is, and the faster it's going, the more difficult it is to, like, get it to stop. There's momentum that has taken place. Now, Lacey and I just celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary, and we are, yeah. I'm so blessed to be married to her. 22 years. And for some of you that just got married, you're like, "Wow, like 22 years. And there are some of you who are like, "They're kids. We've been married for 65. Well, I'm telling you, we're going after you, all right? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But 22 years, and then if you count in our dating years before that, we've been together for about 60% of our lives, which is really cool. And it all started, as you can imagine, she wouldn't stop talking to me. She kept pressuring me to date. I'm like, would you just let me live my life here? And she just wouldn't stop. Maybe it wasn't exactly like that. We met on a missions trip, and that's when our relationship really began to take off. That's where our relationship got momentum, if you will. And some of you are like, oh yeah, you started talking more and all that. Well, let me describe what I'm talking about when I say our relationship had momentum. We had met, we started talking more, and then on one of the days, our youth pastor took the group up to this mountain. It might have been a hill, I don't know, but it seemed like a mountain to me. And we climb up this thing, and then there's this one part where we need to get down, and everybody is smart, and they're sliding down on their rear end on this fast part, sledding down, basically using your shorts as your sled, sledding down safely, rolling to a stop. And so Lacey did that, and a bunch of others did that, and I looked down, and I was like, this is my opportunity to impress her, okay? And she's looking up, she's like, this guy is so cute. And I'm like, I gotta do something here. And so I was like, oh, slide down on my butt. What, everybody else did that. I don't want to do that. I got to be different. So I decided I was going to surf down this part of the mountain, this incline. And so I get on there, and I'm just like, I'm doing this. So I start going down. I'm like, I never surfed in my life. And I'm like this. And all of a sudden, my foot hit a rock of some sort, and it popped me up. And I'm like, I'm dead. And I start going down this where you're running at first. This is not going to be good. And you start going faster and faster. And then I ended up head, you know, over heels, boom, like that, and slid the rest of it on my face, you know, right down to where she was. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate, but I went from cool to lame like that. So quick, so quick, so quick. And I had a physics lessons there, mass times velocity. Yeah, equals some momentum. And that's really how our relationship began. Been going forward ever since, just like that. I think afterwards she just felt sorry for me. She's like, okay, I'll date you. Well, falling is a painful example of momentum. We've probably all experienced it. But there are positive examples of momentum as well. I won't go into a lot of detail, but you all know. I mean, think about a sports team that begins to come together, and they begin to win a couple games, and then they start to pick up steam a little bit, don't they? And they start to get more confident, and they win the next game, and the next game, and the next game, and then they're like invincible, and they win championships. Startup businesses sometimes will get those wins under their belt, make that sale, make that connection, and they start to pick up some steam, some momentum, and it's like, whoa, look out. They're going to go big. That's how New Year's resolutions become New Year's realities, is when you begin to get some wins, and you begin to move forward and pick up some momentum. And as we head into this year, my heart and prayer is that our faith would build momentum, that we would move forward, that you as an individual and as a church, we would have a fresh momentum, a fresh speed and velocity of our faith getting bigger and stronger and enlarging as we're taught in the New Testament. And we might ask, well, how is that possible? How can my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ get stronger? It's here. It's at this level, whatever that level is. How can it get stronger and stronger and stronger to where you get to the end of the year and you're like, wow, I cannot believe how much I grew. Well, that's actually a question that we as a pastoral staff tackled a little over a year ago. I came to them and I asked them, what are some of the things that contributed to your faith journey? What are some things that helped you, key moments, key things in your life that helped you grow in the faith and that are still helping you grow in the faith? And we had a great discussion as the staff were just throwing out different things and reflecting back, maybe when they first got saved or a year into it or 5 years into it, the things that contributed to their faith journey, to a stronger faith. Now, the staff would readily admit that we have not arrived, but we would also say we want to keep moving forward. We want to keep growing in our faith. And in the book of Acts, and we're going to be referencing some things from the early chapters of the book of Acts over the next few weeks, because we read about the early church, and we read about the specific things that helped them grow in their faith, that helped them take their next steps in the faith. And what I discovered was, as I read the book of Acts, and then as I spoke with the staff and they shared some of the contributors or accelerators for their faith, they were very similar. Big surprise. I want you to think about that for a moment, would you? What are the things, the keys, what are the contributors to your faith journey? Would you think back for a bit? What are some things that really helped your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ get stronger, begin to pick up some steam? Think about that. Now, what I want to do over these next several weeks is share six momentum creators and sustainers for your faith. Now, it's very possible that what you just thought about, the thing that really helped you grow in the faith, that experience, that key moment, that discipline in your life, whatever it might be, it probably is going to fall under one of these six that I'm going to share with you. But if not, this is, as I read Scripture, that what I believe are six keys. Not like there aren't more, but six keys that are going to help you, help me throughout this year to really grow in our faith, to really build faith, whether you're new to the faith or you've been serving God for years. Here are the six, and then I'm going to focus in on just one for the rest of today's message. The first one is this: hearing practical, anointed, and applied teaching, that being part of your life. Experiencing the presence of God. Being engaged in purposeful ministry. Having priority time with Jesus on a regular basis. Connected with pivotal relationships. And then active and personal influence as you're impacting the people that are around you with the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And I believe and I'm convinced that these are six keys, that these are six momentum creators for your faith. Most likely, all of us have one or two or three or four of these that we're engaged in. Maybe a number of people out here, you say, man, I'm engaged with all six of these. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're engaged with all six of these, I guarantee your faith is growing. Your faith can't help but to build momentum if you're engaged with all of these in a growing, in a fresh, and an alive manner. It's just how it works as we read the Scripture, as we study the early church. And this morning, I want to focus in, zero in, just on this first one that we have listed, the practical, anointed, and applied teaching. And for the record, if you're wondering, were these listed in order of importance? Let me say, all six are vital for the life of a believer. And this morning, I'm focusing in on just one of those, the practical, anointed, and applied teaching. And I want it to be clear at the very beginning of this that I'm talking about the practical, anointed, and applied teaching of the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. This precious book that the Lord has given to us was comprised over the span of about 1,500 years by 40 different writers. Some were fishermen, some were shepherds, some were kings, some were prophets. One was even a doctor. And over the span of that 1,500 years, they wrote this. Now, I want you to understand that throughout this word, even though there were 40 plus authors, even though it was a span of 1,500 years, the Bible never contradicts itself. It's amazing. And the story from beginning to end is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as you read this book, you'll find there's a reason why, even though there were many authors who lived in different places in the world and over the span of 1,500 years, why it doesn't contradict itself and why it was able to keep one story, and that is the story of Jesus. It's because the author was the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God was orchestrating this. The Holy Spirit of God was inspiring this, revealing to us that there is a God. There is the God who is full of love and grace and power, and he wants to have a close relationship with us. And that's what this word is. Jesus said it was so important that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Why? Why is it so important for us to hear the word of God? Well, what we read in Scripture is it's because this word is eternal. This word is eternal. Our possessions pass away, don't they? Our chapters in life seem to pass away, but this word is eternal. It's a light for our path. It's a lamp for our feet. It's living and it's active, unlike any other book ever known to man. No wonder Jesus said that we need to listen to what comes from the mouth of God. One of the chapters in this amazing book called our Bible is Psalm 119. And one of the reasons it's unique is it's because it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Okay, if you want to memorize a chapter in the Bible, that might not be the one you want to start with. It has 176 verses in this one chapter, and it's 176 verses that are basically devoted to one thing, and that is the love and the commitment to the Word of God. The psalmist wrote this as a way of declaring his love and his commitment to the Word of God, his need for the Word of God. It begins like this: blessed are those who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. God, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And then the psalmist asked a question: how can a young person stay on the path of purity? How can an old person stay on the path of purity? And here's the answer: by living according to your word. I seek you, O Lord, with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Our faith builds momentum when we're close to the book, when we're hearing the book. The New Testament says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's vital for our faith growth this year to hear the word of God being taught on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, in a life lesson, for the students in the Thrive student ministry, for the kids right now as we speak. They're hearing the word in the preschool classes. They're hearing the word in the power plant service for the elementary age kids. You're hearing the word in Bible studies. You're hearing the word in small groups. And it is vital as we go through this year that we are leaning into what God is saying, that we are hearing the word being taught and being proclaimed and being declared. You take that out in 2019 and you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. It is key, a key momentum creator for your faith. Why? Well, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. And it's useful. That's what the word says. It's useful. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why do you need to be engaged with practical, anointed, and applied teaching? Because it is useful for the preparation of your life as you go out to live a life for God, so that you can be thoroughly equipped. I want to be thoroughly equipped, right? And I know that you do as well, for every good work that God has called us to be a part of. Practical, anointed, and applied. I want to just break that down for a moment, because you'll be hearing that as we move forward. The practical, anointed, and applied teaching of the Word of God. It's the longest description that we have for those six. You probably noticed that. But each word, I believe, is very intentional. I know it's intentional in putting it in there. The first one is practical. The teaching of the Word of God needs to be practical. And that really is the responsibility of the preacher, okay? It's the responsibility of me on most Sundays throughout the year. It's the responsibility of Pastor Carl as he's teaching the students. It's the responsibility of whoever that I ask to be up here to preach the Word, or who we have doing life lessons or whatever it might be. Pastor David last week, for instance, sharing a great word from God's Word. It needs to be practical. And there's a responsibility, a heavy, serious responsibility on me, on any communicator of the Word of God, that we must be prayed up and we must be prepared to present the Word of God so that we can rightly handle the Word of God, so that we can be true to the text of what God is saying. Not pull something out. That's not what God's talking about. We have to represent God well. And if we don't, and if we don't represent this well, we will be judged for it. James chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 4 says, if anyone speaks, they should speak as one who speaks the very words of God. That is a heavy, serious responsibility that we have as a proclaimer of God's word. I remember the first time that I was asked to preach. I was in middle school, and my youth pastor called me up and said I was going to preach at the nursing home service that week. And I, in that moment, did not like my youth pastor. I was scared out of my mind. I'm like, what? You're doing it. He didn't give me a choice. He said, you're gonna preach. You're going to bring the word. You're going to share. You're going to speak at the nursing home at the upcoming service. Oh, man, I was so nervous. I can't describe how nervous I was. And I tried my best to prepare and all that and not knowing what I was doing. And I went to the nursing home. And I don't know how many times I probably used the nursing home bathroom before the service began. And I can still remember to this day what that room looked like, okay, in Linton, Indiana. And I was standing there getting ready to share, and they're wheeling people in on the wheelchairs, and I'm like, what am I going to say? And I had some notes. I'm so nervous. And I, to this day, I remember what I spoke about. It's from 2 Kings. I remember some of the details of what I was trying to get across, and I knew I didn't have anything in common with those people. I mean, they had lived life. I was just trying to figure out life. But I knew that I needed help, and I knew that I wasn't good at it. And I tell you what, I think the same thing today. Because it has to be God, because it's His Word. I lean so heavily on this passage in 1 Corinthians 2. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence. Or human wisdom as I pray God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My preaching, my message were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but so that your faith will rest on God's power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. And like so many of you, I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And it's also very practical. You know, one of the great things about being a communicator of God's word is that I don't have to make the Bible relevant. This word is relevant for all people, for all times, for all places. And it's practical. But I pray for God's grace that as a communicator of God's word, that I can help to connect some of the dots to help us be able to go out of here and to live it. And I'm very, very, very blessed because there are so many in this church that pray for me. A woman came into the doors as I was greeting this morning and said she'd been praying for me every day. I'm just so humbled by that. I have a prayer team, and Lacey and I meet with them once a month, and these precious, amazing people pray for our family. But one of the key things that they pray for is the preaching, that I would know what God wants to be shared and that I would hear from the Lord as far as what people need to hear. It's so important. It's so important. And there's a responsibility on me to make sure that I'm prayed up and prepared, stepping up here on a Sunday morning, as it is for anyone that's communicating the Word of God throughout the week in Bible studies and small groups and student ministries, kids ministries, all of the above. The second part of this is that it's anointed, that's practical, there's a heavy responsibility on the communicator, and that it is then anointed. The sermon isn't to be a speech or a TED talk. The sermon is to be a message that is anointed by God. In Acts 16, we read about Paul the Apostle who was sharing one of those messages. He had prepped, he had prepared, he had prayed, and he was now sharing a message in the city of Philippi. But what you'll see in this passage is that something else had to happen. Otherwise, it was going to fall flat. Verse 14 says this, "One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God." And then look what happened. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. This word means what was closed was made to open. It means what was misunderstood or just not understood was made to be understood. And Paul the Apostle, as powerful as he was as a communicator, couldn't accomplish that. No preacher can open a heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't understand a message from the Word of God without the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't even understand a verse of the Word of God when you're reading it tomorrow or the next day without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Spirit would guide us into all truth. And we are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. For God to anoint the preacher, for God to anoint the hearer, for us to have a heart that is open. And let me encourage you, if you've been praying for a loved one to have their heart open to the Word of God, to have their heart open to the ways of God, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up praying, because God is the one that can open up a heart. And it doesn't often happen on our timetable. So keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep pressing in that God would open wide open the heart of people who need to hear the Word of God. And may God open our hearts. Holy Spirit, open our hearts so we can hear the Word of God. Without God's anointing on the preached Word, forget it. It's just a talk. We have to have the anointing of God. Paul said this, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words." Words fall flat. "We came to you also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." Have you ever experienced that? As you're hearing the Word of God or reading the Word of God, there's a deep conviction that's there. Like, oh, I've got to do something about this. I can't just walk away from this, or this was just for me. Anointing. If the Holy Spirit isn't working on a heart, that heart stands no chance. Have to have the Holy Spirit's work. We are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you expose yourself to the Word of God being taught, and it's anointed by God, there can be life change. And we are dependent on the Holy Spirit's anointing, His work, His making us, enabling us to understand what is being shared. Has to be anointed. Here's the good news. This part of this phrase, practical, anointed, and applied teaching, is God's responsibility. It's God's responsibility. And Holy Spirit is always at work. You don't have to worry about that one. He's always at work. The third part of this key momentum creator for us is that the teaching would be applied. And this is where you come in. This is where I come in as a hearer. It is our responsibility. The message can be prepped and prepared. The messenger can be anointed by God. The Holy Spirit can be anointing a heart. But if we don't apply it to our lives, what's the point? The Word of God is to be lived out. And as we look into the readings of the early church, Acts chapter 2, what we see is that this is how they began after coming to faith in Jesus. The very next verse says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the preached word, to the taught word. And this word devoted means it's a really strong word. It means to have a resolve, Like, I'm never going to give up. I'm going to get this. It's the picture of someone who is leaning in with a fierce intensity, pressing in order to hear and to understand the Word of God. Don't you love that? And that's what these early church believers were doing. They were pressing in, leaning in, like, give me the Word. I want to hear the Word. And in so doing, they heard the Word, their heart was open, and there was momentum in their faith. And you read that through the book of Acts. They were devoted to hearing the Word of God, a longing, not to be entertained or not to be wowed. Oh, I've never heard of that before. No. It's a leaning in, saying, God, what do you want to speak to me today? What do you need me to hear today? What do you need me to respond to today? And I'll tell you, one of the healthy, vital signs of this church is all of you in your hunger for God's Word. I see it. I sense it. I hear you talking about the Word. You're sharing scriptures with me. You are engaged. You're leaning into the Word of God. And I challenge you, as we go through this year, in 2019, don't stop. Be consistent. Keep leaning into the Word of God in the different settings that you find yourself in and that you pursue. Momentum is created. Momentum is created in your faith. It can't help but not to help build your faith as you hear the practical, anointed, and applied teaching of the Word of God. It has to be applied. Put it into practice. We put it into practice. We live it out. We don't leave it in the pew, right? We go to live it out. Jesus said this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house. He built his house on what? On the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Whew. So clear. Jesus says, listen to these words and then put them into practice. By God's grace, live them out. Live them out. And in closing today's message, I want to challenge you with three prayers. Three prayers that I think it will be very beneficial to you as you go through this year to pray. Before coming into a service when you're going to hear the Word preached, before going into a life lesson or going into the worship choir where they share the Word, or before going into a Bible study. Three prayers that you can pray that I believe will help to unlock your heart so that you can hear even more from God and be impacted even more by God so that your faith continues to grow. The first one is this: pray for humility. Pray for humility. It's that prayer that says, God, help me to know that I need you, because I do. In our most honest moments, we're wrecked before God, right? We don't stand a chance. We need God. I don't know about you, but I don't have life all figured out. We need God. We need His Word consistently being shared and communicated, diving deep into our heart. God, I need you. Well, why would you pray for humility? Well, I would just say this, because most of us in here probably struggle with pride. We got this together. We've heard all this before. I've been serving God for years. We need to pray for humility. God, help our hearts be humble. God, I need you. The psalmist prayed this: teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Psalms saying, God, help me. Teach me. I need you. I need you. I need you. The second prayer is this: pray for hunger. Pray for hunger. God, I want you more. Well, why do we need to pray for hunger? Well, in a nutshell, I would say it's because it's very easy for us to get satisfied on the snacks of this world. And then our appetite is ruined. We kind of show up, oh, okay. What's happening later today? We need to pray for hunger. God, help me to have a hungry heart for the Word of God. God, help me to thirst for your Word. As the psalmist wrote, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. I would tell you this, the more you hunger for God and his word, the more you will hunger for God and his word. Hunger for him. God, fill me with a hunger. Help me be humble. God, fill me with a hunger so that I can come into this service, come into that Bible study saying, God, I want you more. I need you more. I long for your word in my life. And then thirdly, pray for hearing. Pray for hearing. This is so important. God, what are you saying to me? God, help me not to miss what you're wanting to say to me. Wouldn't it be a shame if you walked into a setting where the word of God is preached and God had something that he wanted you to say? Maybe it was just one verse that was communicated. Maybe it was just one thought from the word. And God's like, ooh, I got this prepared for so-and-so. This is going to be great. And let's say you missed it for whatever reason. Wouldn't that be a shame? Like a wasted morning. That could affect in the rest of your week and your life. Pray for hearing. The psalmist did. God, help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. Jesus would often say, whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear. Listen in, lean in. God, give us soft ears so we can hear. I think this might illustrate what I'm talking about. According to the book Whisper, babies are imprinted by their mother's voice. The inner ear is actually the first sensory system to develop for a baby in the womb. And it becomes fully functional by the fifth month. By the seventh month in the womb, a baby recognizes and responds with specific muscular movements to his or her mother's voice. Amazingly, there's no time delay between the mother speaking and then the movements of the baby. Neuroimaging has also shown that a mother's voice exerts a unique influence over and above a stranger's voice. Simply put, a mother's voice leaves a neural fingerprint that imprints the baby's brain. The baby knows the mother's voice and can differentiate between mom and everybody else. Amazing. Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. In other words, pray that your life would get the voice print of God as you walk out of any setting when you've heard the Word of God preached. That you would have the fingerprint, if you will, of God's voice on your heart, your spirit. As you walk out, you won't forget. As you walk out, you've been impacted. As you walk out, what? You have your marching orders of what God is calling us to do, how God is calling us to change, what God is calling us to believe. The voice print of God on your heart. May we be a people that become so sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and so hungry for the word of God that when God speaks, it leaves a print on us, one that we can't get away from. One that we recognize above every other voice in our culture. Well, the response for today's message is really going to be lived out, I believe, over the next 51 weeks. Where we, as a people, say, you know what? I want my faith to build momentum, and so I'm going to be engaged with practical, anointed, and applied teaching of the Word of God. I'm going to be consistent with that. And I challenge you as we move forward throughout this year that you would pray prayers like that in your own words, but just with those realities that God wants us to walk in of humility. God, I need you. Help me today to get what you want me to have. God, help me to have hunger for you, to want you more, to long for you more, to lean in like the early church to what it is that's being preached and then to have hearing so that we don't miss anything that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. I want you to imagine, just for your life, as you project into the rest of this year, imagine what would be different if every week or a couple times a week, depending on how often that you're in a setting where the Word of God is proclaimed, how different your life might be if every time that communicator was anointed by God, was prepped and prepared, that God did his work, which you know he's going to do, where he anoints your heart to hear, and that then you were committed to applying what it is that God prints on your heart for that week. I mean, can you imagine how your life could look even better and different than last year if week after week after week we walk in with that heart of humility and hunger and ready to listen to hear what God wants us to hear? That, my friends, is life change. And that is what is going to impact the world that's around you, because your faith is going to be built up and it's going to have momentum. Would you please bow your heads? Before we leave today, I want to give opportunity for those who are here that are hearing about a momentum in your faith, but you're just being honest and saying, you know what? I haven't gone to the starting line yet. I haven't even begun to move forward in a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know that today, on this day, even right now, you can step into a right relationship with God. Not because you're cool, not because you're nice, all because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and he lived a perfect life, and then he chose to follow the will of God in offering up his life on the cross, carrying the sins of all humanity and dying and then rising again, so that everyone who places their faith in him, their belief that he is who he says he is, everyone who places their faith in him will be saved, will come into right relationship with him. Well, how? How do I come into right relationship with God? Scripture says this: confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It's not based on works. It's by grace, through your faith, that you can experience a right relationship with God and begin to have momentum in this new faith. And I want to give you that opportunity. How many are here today? You just lift up a hand and say, you know, walking in, I'm not sure if I was in right relationship with God, but I want to be. I just want to have an opportunity to pray with you. Would you just lift up a hand wherever you're at today? You say, I'm not in right relationship with God, but I want to be. But I want to be. God, we thank you for how you're working in hearts, how you're stirring our hearts, for those who believe in you and those that maybe still have questions. And I thank you for the love and the grace and the compassion that you have for these people here today. In your name, amen. Would you please stand? And I'm excited about this coming week. I'm excited about these next few weeks as we really dig into how our faith can build even more momentum in our lives. And as you leave today, there might be some of you or a lot of you that are walking through something that's a challenge, or there's an opportunity coming up and you'd like prayer for that. And so I'm going to invite the elders, if they would quickly come, just stand here at the front. And on your way out, if anyone, whether in the balcony or main floor, you just like prayer with one of the elders about something, we would love that opportunity just to go to God with you and believe that God's going to do a work in your life. Thank you, elders, for your willingness. Have a great week. Walk in God's blessing, God's grace. It's so great to connect with all of you today. We're looking forward to what God has in 2019.
Thank
Have a great
you
week.
For listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.